Welcome back to Roam Spirits, the one-man podcast about this guy's journey to happiness through video games, D&D, video games, and relatively anything that's somewhat nerdy. So again, thank you for stopping by today. Got some fun stuff to talk about. I want to talk first. I got sucked back into another mobile game. And I don't know why my brain says that I need to play two. But I guess just like the Sith, there's always going to be two. And I tried Marvel Strike Force for a while. Even spent a little bit of money on the game. But for some reason, I didn't get into it. And I love Marvel characters. Huge fan. But I really didn't continue to do it. And I think it's because I was so far behind so many of the other players. And when I started Star Wars, I had someone that I was working with that has done podcasts on it, has played it for like 4 years. And so I really was getting that motivation from him. And I just continued on. But, you know, I have tried a lot of different ones. We got Raid Shadow Legends and, of course, Marvel Strike Force. Even did a couple different games that were based on The Walking Dead. But I really never got hooked on any of them. But the one that I played the longest was Disney Sorcerer's Arena, or DSA. And I think the thing for this is I started it basically the week after it started. So I really was one of the first characters and one of the people to play. I'm not sure, I'm not a character, but I got the first characters when it first started. So I played this for probably about 6 months. And I really enjoyed the game because I'm kind of a sucker for anything that's Disney. But the connectivity issues and also, too, the time suck, because there's a lot of things when this game first started that were taking a lot of time. I really kind of fell out of it because I wasn't playing it every day. But on the other hand, I really did have a good set of characters starting off that, you know, going back into it, I'm still pretty high up in my arena shard. So, I mean, I think in the end, yeah. Well, either way, I got sucked back into it this week, and I was just sitting there, and I saw an announcement for it, or like a pop-up, and I'm like, all right, why don't I try? Let's get back into it to see exactly what new characters, what do I see differently in it. And the first thing that popped up was that there was an Elsa event from Frozen, and I worked on the characters. I had a 6-star Elsa at that point. But I didn't have a 7-star because it was just taking forever for this event to come around again. Well, as soon as I load it up, the first thing that pops up says, get your 7-star Elsa. All right, I'll do this. And maybe it's getting me here. I do the event one time, unlock Elsa at 7 stars, and I guess the itch has started. And so now I'm playing 2 mobile games, which I don't think I have enough time to really put in that much time for both games, but still, either way. But Disney, again, I think the thing that has gotten me so much is the characters. I love Star Wars. I love Marvel. Spider-Man is a huge fan, watched everything. Hell, even have, pajamas that are Spider-Man, and I'm a grown-ass man. But I don't know what it is, but looking at some of these characters and seeing Big Hero 6 and seeing Baymax and seeing Lion King and even Beauty and the Beast, I don't know. Maybe it's nostalgia. Maybe it's how I grew up. I mean, I grew up in a pretty religious family that we didn't get to watch a lot of TV per se and a lot of movies, but I got to watch every single Disney movie and I could watch it multiple times. And I will say, fun fact, the first game I ever beat was Lion King for the Super Nintendo. So, as you can see, I'm kind of a sucker for any type of Disney game. So, getting back into it, like I said, I took a few months off. I logged on. I'm in the 400s for Arena. And honestly, I'm pretty excited about that. And I didn't even have Elsa in that group. So, with that, of course, I was still getting a decent amount of crystals and getting a decent amount of points for the different stores. And really, you know, it's going well. So the first thing I did, of course, was get Elsa to 7 stars, which got me motivated. Then I had to get back into another guild. And I remember last time it was extremely difficult to get into a decent guild. I really think their search process and their kind of getting their players into the guilds really not very good. But I still this time was able to go in, find a guild that actually didn't have to request to get into. They have 50 people in this guild that are actually playing, and one of the guild mates here is a Kraken. And if you know anything about mobile games, a Kraken is basically somebody that spends thousands of dollars on a mobile game to just get these characters. And she has every single one. They're all 7 stars. And I am excited. I am going to ride this coattail to get some of these good characters. Because in the game, just like Star Wars, there are raids. There are events that are basically just, you know, part of the guild itself. So the guild gets you different currency, gets you different type of things as well. So I'm pretty excited about this. And it's a great opportunity. And like I said, it's a good guild. And just like in Star Wars, if you're in a bad guild, you're really not going to kind of, you know, be at the level that you want to be at. So with Disney, I left the guild that I started when I left the game. So that's pretty rough. But again, with this guild, I feel pretty dang good about it. So back in the game and ready to continue on. And so going back when I said about the characters, you know, I worked on, as soon as Frozen came out, I knew that Elsa was going to be a good character. And she's considered one of the top ones in the game, strength-wise, and for great reason. That movie is so addictive. But to people, I mean, it doesn't matter how old you are, you know about Frozen. So those characters are going to be really important in the game, and you know it's going to bring in other players that play. So I started working on them. So Elsa, Sven, I call her Anna, but I think I'm saying it wrong, but Kristoff, and then Olaf. A lot of F's in there, O-F-F's, right? So Olaf, Kristoff, kind of fun to say. Either way, but that group right now technically is my best team, and it's doing really well. Now, I'm not using it in Arena. I actually have a couple other characters in there just because, you know, again, it has the gear system as well. Gear 7, I think, is one of the highest levels, and I think all mine are at gear 6, so I'm not ready just yet. But I have also, before I stopped, like, I'm a big Big Hero 6 fan, and so when they released those, I was actually, that's what disappointed me the most about leaving, was I didn't have all the characters, and these games really pull on your, you know, that obsession to collect these characters. So that's where I am, though. Big Hero 6 is in there. One of my favorite movies as a kid was Aladdin, weirdly enough. And so when I first got the game, I really worked on a lot of those characters. And I found out pretty quickly that Aladdin's good, but everybody else is pretty bad. So I have them going. There's a lot of iconic villains in this game. You have Shan Yu, Mordu, Captain Hook, Hades, Syndrome, Zurg. I mean, a lot of these are pretty fun characters to have, and so I'm looking forward to collecting them. And again, going to Lion King, you got Scar, Simba, Rafiki. I mean, come on, these are great characters. So my goal here is, now that I have Elsa to 7 stars, I'm going to work the other characters that are going to be for Frozen, get them up a little bit higher, probably Elsa to 7, Kristoff to 7, and then also too, surprisingly, Sven is actually pretty tough in this game, so get to get him up to gear 7, and then ride that for a little while. I think I'm going to be able to get into probably the 200s or so in Arena, and then keep on collecting those crystals. But I am going to go through and work on Big Hero 6, and the only way that you can get Baymax is to have basically 7-star characters for them. And so you got Go-Go, Hero, Fred, Honey Lemon, and then Wasabi. I need to get each one of those up to 7 stars and unlock them when the event comes. I guess my critique for this is that it really does feel like they're very much are really heavy, like Marvel Strike Force, on having to have 5 characters to unlock one. And I know Star Wars does it, but for some reason it doesn't seem like it's as bad. I really feel like at this point, now that's been out for probably 6 years, five, 6 years, is that they've done a good job of allowing you to get some of the characters relatively pretty easy. Disney really wants you to get these collectibles, to get these other side characters, to get the important ones. You know, that's basically how most of these are. So you got Elsa, and you're going to go through with Baymax in the same situation. So, but same thing with like Gizmo Duck from Darkwing Duck. I loved that whole series. And as an adult, I won't lie, I've still kind of caught a few episodes. But he's in the same situation. You need some of those characters just to unlock them. But one thing they just recently did is they actually put original Mickey, original Minnie, Donald and Goofy, and Pluto, I think is the dog's name, I think. But yeah, so they're all in there too. So I think actually there's six of them, because I think, man, I can't remember what Donald's, is it Daisy, maybe? A Daisy Duck? I'm not sure. But either way, the Sensational Six is in the game now too. Now, those aren't going to be characters that I have to have right now at least, but I do think I'm going to kind of push this forward. So, like I said, with this game, DSA, I am addicted to, I guess, to have two mobile games. And I think this Disney is going to keep me going for a little bit longer. And, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, it won't take too much of my time and I won't complain about not having any time, of course. But so, DSA, you'll get some updates just like with Star Wars. You won't care about them, but guess what? I'm going to tell you where I'm at with it. So there we go. All right, so secondly, I wanted to move on. I wanted to go through and talk to you a little bit about a book that I'm reading. It's not really reading, but actually listening to. The Zombie Fallout series is a really, really great series. And surprisingly, it's one that I've never heard of, and it really isn't mainstream by any means. But I found it through Audible, and I had a little bit of cash laying around, so I thought, you know, why not go through and actually get an Audible subscription? And I wanted to do the premium one just because there's a lot of free books out there. Because I don't know what it is, but I'm not reviewing this Audible, but you only get one book a month. And I don't know why, but that bothers me. And right now I'm having a hard time picking the 12. And so the subscription I had is for a year, so I need to use these and get these books, but I'm having, I don't know, like almost paralysis in picking out these books. So I started to review some of the free books that are out there, and I found this Zombie Fallout series, and I have decided and realized that I am a sucker for zombies, and I really think that's the genre that I'm kind of really big into. When I think about my favorite video games I've played for over the last, you know, 5 years, you know, Dying Light, Days Gone. I mean, those are games that I have put some hours and hours into, you know. And then you're talking like anything with zombies, really. The Walking Dead, I'm a huge fan for. You know, I just got done watching the new Netflix, movie on about the zombies. So it's like, again, I'm just kind of a sucker right now for anything that's zombie, and I guess I have been for a few years. So there are 12 of these books. Actually, I lied. No, it's not 12. It's 17. There's 17 of them. And the author, again, I have a hard time saying his last name, but it's Mark. It's Tufo, I think. T-U-F-O. And they are so well written. But one real quick thing, though, when you're looking at kind of the title or when you're looking at the covers of each one of these, it doesn't really mesh with the actual story. They have this macho man on the outside of it, like looking like he's going to be like a Rambo type character. That's really not the story so far. So I do think that's a little bit interesting. So if I saw this book in like Barnes and Nobles, or if I was going to buy it on Amazon, I would not have thought the story, you know, is really what's on the cover. But it really, honestly, for me, I'm totally fine with that. So I'm not going to give you complete details of everything for the book, but I do want to talk a little bit about it, because it really did kind of spark a few more, you know, errant, you know, like little brain things for me to say, well, there's just some stuff I want to talk about. But it talks about the H1N1, and as we know, you know, the different viruses, the flu viruses over the last, 20 years, H1N1 was really, something that hit us, but really didn't hit us that bad over here in the U.S. But the book, which is kind of timely for me reading this, is talking about how they have a vaccine that they gave to everyone in the world, practically, to fight this H1N1. Well, unfortunately, what happens is when you die, you come back. Or technically, again, I'll talk about that here in a sec, but, it changes you, so that way, for some reason, if you, if you do die, you come back as a zombie. Well, as we know right now, there's some people that don't want to get a vaccine, or they've gotten a vaccine, or it's just pretty crazy right now with COVID. So I'm not really going to talk about my views on that per se, but I will say I did get vaccinated, and so far I have not turned into a zombie yet. Now my wife and I, we do, on a very, very low key, have jokingly talked about preparing for like a zombie apocalypse. Even though we do it jokingly, we still have like an RV and we have supplies and water just in case. So if it happened, and my wife got the vaccine and I got a little bit earlier than her, so I'm like, well, if we're spacing it out and I turn into a zombie, then that's just one of us, so I'll be the guinea pig. But either way, well, the story itself, the virus, just like a lot of these zombie movies and video games and everything, comes from a vaccine. And it really does a great job of talking about right at the beginning what's happening. And it's so funny because I watched, The Walking Dead, of course, and, Rick Grimes goes to the hospital and wakes up and then everything is destroyed. And it doesn't seem like it's that far difference. I mean, his wife at that point, spoilers, I guess, but, his wife has started a new relationship, thought he died, got over him quickly, and stuff is just, everything is gone. Well, this book does a really good job of kind of getting through that first stages of a zombie apocalypse, kind of what's happening with it. The only difference is that it's really told on a different way. Like, it's him writing in his journal, and this guy is hilarious. So Mark really writes this main character, which his character's name is Mike Talbot. He is, of course, an ex-Marine, which I think every zombie movie or something has some type of armed force person in there, because how else could they, be as badass as they are? But either way, like, he has made this character extremely, extremely likable and relatable, while also, too, the writing style is very descriptive, but also too extremely sarcastic and funny. And when I say relatable, I really mean relatable. There's some dialogue that he has where he's thinking about what he wants to say to his wife compared to what he actually says to his wife. It's pretty hysterical to me. And like I said, he's very sarcastic. So in kind of not really morbid per se, but some of the things that pop in my head in weird cases, that make absolutely no sense, it really does come into there. But another fun fact too for this main character is he's a germaphobe. And I was just thinking how funny and interesting that is to think about, because of all times, in all places for you to kind of have issues with germs, a zombie apocalypse would be the worst. I mean, one, most likely you're not going to have power. Two, you're not going to be able to clean on a regular basis. Three, the zombies in almost every setting that I've seen or heard or watched are usually gross. They smell bad. They're decaying. It's pretty crazy. So it's a really cool description of kind of how he's handling these things. But one interesting thing, again, I'm not going to talk too much about it, but he talks about how the smell, like, they are enclosed in this area, and talking about the smell of the zombies, and he's talking to, like, breaking that fourth wall, and saying, like, okay, you don't understand how nasty this smells unless I give you this visual. And he talks about having your dog basically get sick in a plastic bag, and wrapping that plastic bag around your face like a feed bag, for like a horse. And one, the visualization of this is just awesome because I can just see it. I can smell it. Like, the senses on this. He does a really good job. It's just really good writing. But on the other hand, too, what type of mind thinks about writing in a book about having your dog eat Taco Bell and then puke into a bag and then have you wrap it around your face? I just think that's just so so interesting to me. So, but yeah, one thing that the book has done is made me think about the different type of zombies that we've seen in different eras, in different movies, different comics, different video games, because this one really is a mixture of a lot of them. And so it's so funny. If you go to any type of wiki site or you start Googling zombies, I had no clue how many zombies really were in this, have been created in our media, you know, in our different types of environment. So I did find out that like a generic zombie, it actually does have a set person that it came from, and that was going to be George Romero. Guess I'm not truly a zombie fan, but I am learning a little bit about it. But a general zombie really is something that had the old arms out forward, and you know, basically you die and you come back and they come from the grave. But also too, you know, it makes it to where, you know, it's almost kind of mixed with like a vampire in some ways, where if they bite you, you become a zombie. And it's funny how there's so many different type of zombie and infected type of characters now out there that have kind of spawned from his writing. And so in this book, I'm going to call it the Romero zombie. They are slow. They really can't climb. They are your typical slower end zombie, but it actually in some ways isn't exactly the same. It's not like your Walking Dead zombie, which they call that the Kirkman zombie. Because in The Walking Dead, they really are just dumb. They are basically decaying flesh, and they are just walking around in herds, and they just don't think, they don't talk, they can't do anything. Well, in this series, they can actually do... there's a few different situations in the first book where you get to see a little bit of intelligence, a little bit of adapting to their environment. And Romero talked about how some of his zombies, they could learn, some of their zombies could adapt, and they could understand, and they could understand what exactly is happening. But one thing that was different in some ways is that the bite itself does not cause you to be a zombie, but it gives you an infection, which in the end causes you to turn into a zombie, just like in The Walking Dead. So it sounds like in this book, it's very similar to that. So it really is kind of a mixture between the Kirkman zombie and the Romero zombie. But really, as a whole, it's kind of fun because there's just these characters and these people are talking about zombies like they are from The Walking Dead. So they're thinking they're just not going to be very smart and there's not going to be any planning. Well, they're learning that there is going to be almost some life back into it. And it brought up one thing, too, that was interesting that... I think there's two different type of zombies. And again, I've done a little bit of research on it from other people, but they talk about, and I think there's a living zombie that's basically infected. And then you also have a dead zombie, which is your normal, you know, zombie that I think is in The Walking Dead. I think the living zombie still has brain function and it can do things. It needs to eat. It needs to breathe. You know, I really, playing as much as I have when it comes to Days Gone, those characters and those people in there, those zombies or freakers, as you want to call them, they are alive. They are infected. It's not like they got bit per se and then automatically they became a zombie. It's a little bit different, but they have an intellect and there's different ones there, and so there's different mindsets to it. So I think in this case, they are a little bit like those zombies or the infected. They are alive, and the main character talks about how he thinks they could actually starve. And there's a lot of different movies and video games that talk about that too. Even in the Resident Evil, they talk about in there how there's other zombies that eat other zombies so they can survive. And I think that's pretty interesting. And I think in this case, you know, they have to eat, they have to do bodily functions. And so it's a pretty cool thing. So in this case, they are different than the World War Z zombies from the movies or even I Am Legend. They're not infected, I think, but they are technically infected, but not completely dead. I know it sounds really weird, but in my opinion, you know, I think it's kind of fun. It's, you got the old school, you know, horror type thing where that's that slow death. They're coming at you. They're hoarding up, that type of stuff. But also, too, the book is starting to push towards, hey, they're going to think their way through this. And one cool thing in there, too, is that they have a woman in white scenario. And if you don't know what that is, it's an urban legend that's goes around the whole world. And it's about a ghost of a woman that either was killed, murdered, you know, accidentally died, or suicide. And so in different cultures, it means something different. But really what it is, it's like a vengeful spirit. And they have a kind of a character like in this too. So there is a woman zombie that is dressed in white that, you know, is kind of antagonizing the main character, but also too trying to save him from something. So I really thought that was interesting. It made me remember an episode of The Supernatural. Dean and Sam, in the first episode, I believe, they went through and had to fight slash, I don't even know, exercise. Either way, they had the first episode, the monster of the week was a woman in white. So I thought that was pretty cool. It kind of did some nostalgia for me. And it sounds like, looking at the other books, that she's going to continue on into the series and play a part in it, which is really kind of cool. So yeah, yes, I have spent too much time looking up zombies, but I think it's pretty cool. I'm really looking forward to the rest of these series. But what it is going to do is make it really difficult for me to pick my 12 books. Like, I think I'm going to end up having some anxiety on this. How I still have basically 12 more books to go through. I say 12 because 12 of them are free, and then the other 5 are not free. So for me right now, there's 12 free books. And that's, again, why I keep on going back to 12. But it's going to make it to where it's going to be hard for me to find some other books that I'm going to want to go and listen to. But I only have a year to get these. I mean, I can do the easy thing and go on and get a bunch of Star Wars books. And I really love the Force Unleashed video game, and I really loved the trade paperback and the book itself too. So I'm thinking probably that's going to be one of them, both of them, the book one and book two. I think Starkiller would be awesome for Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes too. So CG, if you're probably not listening to this, but if you are, bring Starkiller into that game. I would just think that would be awesome. So one last thing I want to talk about with the book itself. Again, it is zombie fallout. There's one character in there that is one of the greatest characters, I think, in the whole series. His name is Tommy. He is a greeter from Walmart. And he's a bigger guy that sounds like he has some mental issues, which it sounds, you know, it sounds bad right now. But he is one of the main characters in this. And I think he has some psychic abilities, which is really kind of fun because he, in very weird way, is kind of giving this family kind of tips for the future. And he's doing it in such crazy ways that it's just hilarious, but also really intriguing too. He has an inner voice. And again, I'm sorry, I'm going to spoil this for you because it's just such a hilarious thing. I'm sorry if you're going to listen to these books, but his inner voice is so funny because Mike is asking him, how are you knowing these things? How are you doing this? And he goes, well, the voice is telling me that. And he's like, well, is it the voice of God? No, why would it be God? Tommy says. And he goes, well, then who is it? He goes, it's Ryan Seacrest. And so, I mean, this guy, this smart guy that's writing this is just such, it's just so funny because why would you think to use Ryan Seacrest or even have that in your book? But it's just hilarious. And there's so many different things in there, and it's referenced so much that it's hilarious. But so, of course, we got to move on to the next segment that I know that everyone is dying to hear about, is going to be my Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes update for the week. Again, it's the update you don't want and didn't ask for, but guess what? You get it. So, new Conquest started. It's a new game. It's a newer game series. Not series, but a game mode in here. Basically, it has a lot of different buffs you can put on your characters. And then it also, too, has the ability to kind of face a ton of people in a day. Well, it's a new Conquest. They actually changed it up. I'll say the negative first, and I don't. It's not really per se a negative, but it's the game mode a little bit harder for me now. I'm not even in hard mode yet. My GP is only at 3.6, so that means I'm not able to do the hard mode per se. But they have something in there called, like, basically data discs that gives buffs to your characters. And I was using very similar ones that were the cooling systems, just like everybody else that was doing it, that was refreshing the ability to use different types of your skills. Well, now that they've gotten rid of those, I am having a tough time. And it's even more important now because they released a new character that's going to basically take about 3 months for the people that are really good at the game and spend a lot of money to get. And that's normal folk a lot longer. But they have a new Ahsoka Tano that's out there, which, again, a lot of people are calling it Cat because it's Commander Ahsoka Tano from the Season 7 of Clone Wars. And she looks to be wonderful and outstanding in a character that I want. But I'm finding that I'm going to have a hard time. Right now, I'm only on the path to get 10 shards for her, because it really does seem like it's a little bit tougher. I was facing a CLS team, which is going to be Commander Luke Skywalker, and I have a Relic 5, Relic 6 group going against them, and I was having a hard time. They were kicking my butt, and I was able to get through it, but I honestly need to really spend some time and see if I can beat it. But I'm predicting, because this is a 7-star character unlock, and you need 330 shards to unlock this character, I'm probably only going to get between 10 and 20 per conquest. So it's going to be a long time. Us free-to-play players that haven't spent billions and billions of dollars in this game, we're going to just have to wait. It's all about patience. But yeah, so Conquest started that up. My quest for the Galactic Legend Kylo Ren is inching forward. Ships are all done. Now I have 7 more characters to finish up. The last one that was finished up was going to be Emperor Palpatine. Got him up to Relic 7. I will say that that is painful. And I mean painful to get him to Relic 7. Just because it takes so much resources. But it is done. It's ready to go. I have no more Relic 7s left. The toughest one for me next is going to be the fact that the finalizer is the ship needed. That is going to basically be a few months worth of grinding. What is today? I mean, today we're still in May, almost in June. I'm hoping by the end of the year. And again, as this is a mobile game that I've already been playing for a couple years, I'm just hoping it's not that long. But still, all right, so that is the plan there for Supreme Leader. I'm currently only a few away. I have just got First Order Executioner, Pilot, and Officer to Gear 12, which is pretty dang good. Then I think it's Executioner is like one gear piece away from being into the Relics, which is nice. And then lastly, I want to talk about Grand Arena Championship. I ended up being Kyber, which if you don't know what that means, it's going to be the highest level for my grouping, which means I did a pretty good job. I won all but one of my events. I'm pretty excited about that. It's an extra 150 crystals. We'll take it. But I will say the next round looks like there's a lot of changes to it. It's not going to affect me too much. I need to be probably 3.8 GP before I really have to start seeing too much of a change. But we got this happening. It's going to be 3v3. I'm on the fence on whether I like 3v3. It's a lot more battles, and with Conquest and Galactic Challenges and that, it does seem like there's a lot to do in the game. So, and if I'm doing Disney, I'm not a huge fan of having like 30 battles to have to do before 5 o'clock. But still, you know, it is what it is. Again, this is mobile games. This is me making the choice to do it. It's not my job. Kind of wish it was my job, you know. So don't think a game that's been out for 5-6 years is a huge money getter by any means, but still, it's kind of fun. So thank you again for taking your time to listen to this podcast. I hope you're able to take something from this. Hopefully you learned that there are really like 4 or 5 different main types of zombies. So if you get a chance, go out and look at some of the different styles. It's so funny because there's so many different viruses that are out there that have created these zombies. It's pretty interesting. So we got your H1N1 vaccine. You got the one for I Am Legend, where it's I believe it's a cure for cancer. In 28 days later, it's called the Rage. It's pretty crazy. So, but go out, take a chance, go look at some of these zombies. And again, George Romero and Kirkman zombies with a little dash of World War Z is going to be for this new book. It's not really new, but the book series for that zombie fallout. So I think you will definitely enjoy it. So until next time, hey, have some fun, nerd out the best you can, and hopefully everybody has a wonderful, wonderful day.